what's this? A cougar and a ute sharing the same podcast? That can only mean you're listening to State of Sports Utah with Jason Stoll and Jake Lukler.
Hey everybody, this is the State of Sports Utah podcast. My name is Jason Stoll. This is my co-host and partner in crime, the man, the myth, the Esquire, Jake Lukler.
Hey, it's bowl season!
Bowl season!
Yep, it's finally here. The moment that we've all been waiting for, the thing that everybody has been building up to.
Everything has all led season to this moment.
Well, yes, the past, what is it, 14 weeks have led to this. And it's, yep, and it is finally here.
I'm so glad they all led to this. 14 weeks for New Mexico. Let's go!
All right, but Jason, how about before we actually get into the polls, we just review the last couple weeks, because, you know, in case you don't remember, and you might not, because your memory's terrible, and it's been a while. But,
you know, as a BYU fan, I've just had to develop, like, this short-term memory, you know? It just, I don't... We lost games? We what? No.
Yeah, but we, the last podcast we did was during, you know, right after week 10. So it's been a while. So why don't we just give a quick recap of the end of our seasons?
Yeah, so, I mean, honestly, I did not think I really, going into that Boise game, like I mentioned, I really didn't know that BYU was going to even get bowl eligible. That's how, like, dire things were looking. So, BYU completely surprised me and proved me wrong, because I had tweeted out, I was like, yeah, we're not even going to go bowling. It's all miserable. We got the bye week finally, which I'm going to be really grateful for a Big 12 schedule. Where we get a bye week in a reasonable,
presumably,
mid-season
presumably
time slot. Yeah,
you never
right,
know.
That's true. Yeah, they could stick it on in the week 11 like this year, freak. So, not, you know, good to get a bye week. And then we had a Utah Tech at home, where we gave up 26 points to Utah Tech. And let this wide receiver go crazy on us.
I think he's transferring to, like, San Diego State or something.
No, he's in the portal.
Oh.
And is actually one of the guys that I think BYU should really target. Mm. He would be a great pickup for BYU, actually. So, you got the win there, 52-26. Like, it wasn't... Well, the first half, I was like, all right, what is happening? It wasn't in question, you know, that we were going to lose, but it just was annoying that it's like, it's the same, you know, problems we've had the entire time with the defense just keep, you know. So, you know, it just was annoying that we continue to have these issues, you know, with our defense and like that was just again, kind of concerning that you're giving up that many points to Utah Tech. I guess while I mention it, you know, so BYU goes and hires Jay Hill as defensive coordinator. You know, you get a lot of changes and shifting done. But the funniest thing to me was looking back at the comparison matchups between Jay Hill's defense and BYU's defense that they ran this year, right? So if you go back and look at the scores of similar opponents with Weber State, right? So Weber State beat Utah State in Logan 35-7.
Yeah, of course.
Weber State's defense allowed Utah State 7 points. BYU gave up 26 points at home in Provo to Utah State. Okay. Utah Tech and Weber also played 14 points for Utah Tech allowed by Weber State. And BYU gave up 26. So an FCS defense is easily outclassing BYU's to be Power 5 defense, right? So that was like the convincer for me for Jay Hill. I was like,
oh no, Jay Hill is a solid honestly. Like Utah fans, so a history that maybe some BYU fans don't know. Jay Hill was on staff the same time Kalani was, you know, at Utah, right? He left. He was our special teams coordinator for a while, and then he left to coach at Weber, I think, in 2016, maybe, or 2014. I think it was 2016, if I'm not mistaken.
2013, actually.
All right, then 2013 it was. Anyways, so, but we as Utah fans think very highly of Jay Hill, you know? And honestly, it, you know, when Kyle eventually retires, Morgan Scalley's the presumed guy, and everyone was kind of assuming that Jay Hill would be would be Scalley's replacement. And so, and you know,
it's a big time pickup for.
Yeah, no, it's a huge pickup. I mean, honestly, you know, you guys, you know, your defense should get, you know, progressively better, like on all fronts.
And that was something that he just today in his interview with BYU Sports Nation. He it was almost a little shade to the past BYU defensive coordinator because he said, you know, if we're getting the ball run down our throats, I'm not the kind of guy to just like, or past, right? If we're giving up a bunch of yards, I'm not the guy that's just gonna like kind of sit there and take it. Like, I'll blitz everybody at the line to get a stop on defense. Which is something that I don't think BYU fans have heard the word blitz in a positive light in like 6 years. No joke. It has been just that passive and that empty, and it's going to be completely different. Yeah, no,
this is a big time pickup, and this is why we're spending, you know, this much time on it. You know, because this is something that will affect even your guys' bowl game. I think obviously you're not going to see that drastic of a change that quickly, but I mean. But
right, and he's not going to coach he's not going to coach in the bowl game. Kalani said that like it wouldn't be fair. Kalani said it wouldn't be fair of him to ask Jay Hill to do that. So Kalani will still be calling, but like, you know, technique, scheme,
exactly.
Some of those things he said Jay Hill definitely going to have an impact with. And I'd be surprised if he's if he's maybe not even on sideline, you know.
Throwing around a couple ideas here and there, you know. Sneaking his influence in, you know, a little bit at a time.
So I wanted to mention that because, you know, that was a big takeaway from me playing a similar FCS opponent that Weber State has, that their defense played Utah Tech better than we did. So anyway, big time hire. And then BYU goes on the road. Tanner McKee, you know, LDS kid, picked Stanford over BYU. You know, even with the church mission, came back and has played out his career at Stanford, and just declared today for the NFL and should have a good career there. But BYU played really well, except for the defense again in the last. Like maybe second half, we just kept giving them opportunities and made it feel a lot tighter than it was. And again, just more of that frustration of just like this, it's the same story every week. Like we can't put away people that we should be beating, and we can't stay in games like Arkansas, like, you know, I hate to say Liberty, but stay in games that should be competitive because of our offense, you know, because we're so good, but our defense can't keep up. So it was good to get those two wins regardless, and to get bowl eligible and to have a chance to finish the season with 8 wins. I think BYU Sports Nation was trying to say, like, if BYU gets, you know, to 8 wins or 9 wins, does it make the, does it salvage the season? No, there's no salvaging what should have been a potential New Year's Six Bowl. Honestly, with the 85% returning production, yeah, number one in the NCAA, like, there's no excuses for the way that this season turned out. You know, maybe if BYU's a little more healthy, they have a better shot. But it should have been a 10-win season. And you know, I think getting to 8 wins is good.
It keeps it from being a disaster. I will say that.
Yes, yes. That's probably the right way to phrase it. It keeps it from being a total disaster. And I hope players show up for the bowl.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that. But that's our past. That's what's happened the last, you know, 3-4 weeks. It's been a wild
that ride. It has. And on that note, I think I'll take over. Right? So Utah also faced Stanford 2 weeks earlier. And, you know, we put them away pretty quick. It was, I hate to say it was our last home game of the season, just because, you know, it was week 11. And no one should have their last home game in week 11. That's just, I hate that kind of scheduling. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, mid-November, it's fine to have your last home. It's fine, I guess. Anyways, so it was a little sad to, you know, see some of the, you know, seniors and COVID juniors that will be playing their last game there. Sad to see that, but, you know, they got the win. And then they went on the road to Oregon. And I need to stop going to regular season away games, because I went up to Oregon, you know, on another road trip, just like I did UCLA earlier this year. And that was, honestly, that was one of the most infuriating games I think I've ever witnessed. One, because I was in my least favorite place with my least favorite fans. I if anything, this reinforces my hatred, and it is a hatred. I hate them. You know, I genuinely hate them. Stupid Oregon Ducks. But, you know, it was infuriating because, you know, in a very, you know, parallel way, Utah's defense was playing incredibly. You know, we were the first team to hold Oregon to under 30 points since Georgia. And our offense played its worst.
Like under 40 points, I think, even. They had scored 40 points. Oh, they might have not against Oregon State. I'm thinking back to the stat I gave before that game was played. But they had scored 40 points or more in every single game. BYU's defense was the one, that had held them to the least amount. So, crazy.
Yeah. And so, yeah, exactly. And so you hold them to 20 points, right? You hold Oregon to 20 points, and then the offense lays the egg after egg. I mean, literally the defense gave you every opportunity to win this game. 4 or 5 chances to win this game, and the offense just could not get itself together. And for reasons I still can't explain. It just, you know, all the playmakers didn't make plays. All, you know, every you know, gust of wind didn't blow our way offensively, or however you want to say it. But, you know, many players on the offense had their worst game of the entire season that day. And so, you know, you walk out with a 3-point loss, and, you know, it was heartbreaking. It was a long drive. And again, I hate Oregon fans, not just because they beat us, but just how they treat you. You know, how they treated us in their victory, even before their victory. But one thing I will say, and I just want to throw this out here, I have heard, it was my first time at Autzen Stadium, and I had heard, you know, many legends, of great, spectacular tales of just the rowdiness and the loud atmosphere of Autzen Stadium, and I was completely underwhelmed. It was, I mean, you have a top 15 opponent coming. A team that beat you twice last year, embarrassed you twice last year, killed your playoff run last year, and it was embarrassingly quiet. I have been to Utah State games louder than that. So just saying, you know, Autzen Stadium, not all it's cracked up to be. Anyways, so then Utah goes and, you know, blows the doors off of Colorado. They end up scoring 21 points, but by then, you know, it was our third and fourth strings. Scored 63 points, which is awesome. And then, just like the previous week, where all the winds were not blowing our way,
the Witt made a deal with the devil to get into that championship game, man.
Honestly, I think he made several deals. You know, I think because every domino that needed to fall to get Utah into the championship,
it was like five things.
Four. UCLA needed to beat Cal. Oregon State needed to beat Oregon, which was the big one, and then Washington needed to be Washington State, and Utah needed to be Colorado. Every single thing happened, and I was up late that night because the Washington State game was the last game of the night. It ended at midnight, and I watched all the games, and holy cow! Thank you, Beavers. Thank you, Huskies. Thank you, Bruins. Because the following Friday, the Utes found themselves once again in their fourth Pac-12 championship game, and boy, was that one heck of a game. Because that was possibly the best game of the season. The Utes played extraordinarily. They defensively were unstoppable. After they took a quarter to get it right. You know, they led 17-3 at the end of the first quarter.
I was actually at the Jazz game, so I was watching on my phone, watching the game and kind of following the score and stuff. And when they got to 17-3, it was quick. I mean, it was quick.
Oh no, it was rapid fire. Dang.
I was like, I thought this might have been a game, but.
But yeah, so then second quarter rolls around. And Utah's defense starts getting stops. They start finally getting sacks. You know, little crybaby Caleb Williams starts limping, and then it was Utah's game, and our offense just started clicking. Our defense got stop after stop after stop, four, three and outs. The third quarter, they had one offensive yard in the third quarter, one. Singular. And so then, yep, so they end the game 47-24, crushing once again the Pac-12's hopes for a playoff run, but I don't care.
But because you're in the mother freaking Rose Bowl.
Yeah, we're in the grand, because now we're going back to the granddaddy of them all. You're welcome, Ohio State fans. Buckeyes, that was for you.
That was stupid that Ohio State got in, by the way. I thought that was,
I mean, was stupid. I'd prefer them over Alabama.
Yeah, but they didn't deserve it. They got smoked by Michigan. Smoked by Michigan.
Yeah.
I just...
Hey, I'm not saying they didn't.
That's my opinion, but...
Hey, better them than Alabama.
Well, speaking of Alabama and bowl games and the like, I think we should get to our listener question.
That's true. We had a fantastic listener question. He said, ask us something, you know, regarding a bowl game. And we got a great one from Portia Dooley, or Dully. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. I think it's Dully. Have you guys ever been to a bowl game in person? What was your first? What was your favorite? Now, we're just going to go with favorite because Jason here has only been to one in person. Me, I actually have been to several. You know, my dad and I always tend to make trips out of them. But, you know. But since we've both been to at least one, we're going to only do our favorite. And I'll start. So I think the expected answer is, you know, last year. Don't get me wrong, that was very special. And it would definitely be the number one if we had won that game. You know? But considering we lost, I decided to go with one that, like, meant a lot to me at the time that it happened. And for me, that was the 2016 Foster Farms Bowl. And the reason that was kind of significant to me was 2016, it was the first season I was back home from my mission, right? And, you know, and my transition home was a little difficult. You know, it was a little, it kind of took me a little longer than I would have liked just kind of get into the rhythm of things. And it was that bowl game. You know, we went to that bowl game. You know, it was in Northern California, Levi Stadium. And I remember just being there and just through the course of that game, just falling in love once more with the game and with the Utes. And, you know, we played Indiana, which is a team that, you know, the Utes typically don't play very often. In fact, they haven't since, and they hadn't from my memory the entire time I've been watching. So, you know, it was a completely new team. We had my favorite player, Ute player of all time, who had one of his best games, Joe Williams, the running back. He was a beast. He was a running machine, and he was the man that came back. We needed him most, you know. And then it was one of the first times, not the first time, but one of the, you know, the first spectacles we got of future starting quarterback Tyler Huntley. And even in that, the course of that game, I knew he was going to be special. The Utes pull out a very narrow win, but I won't say I didn't doubt it.
You had fun.
No, yeah. No, I won't say I didn't doubt that we would win, because I definitely did at some points. But, you know, they pulled out a win, and by the end of the game, you know, it was a fun time. It was a blast. You know, it was a great bowl game to attend, and I really liked it.
I am an idiot. I'm saying this live on. I completely forgot. I have been to two bowl games, Jake. I have been to this other bowl game with you, sir. What? I went to a bowl game with you. Me and Jake went to the Poinsettia Bowl, the last Poinsettia Bowl ever versus Wyoming.
Yeah. You know, when you said you'd only been to one bowl game and you told me what bowl game it was, I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right.
I completely forgot. I have no idea how I forgot. This changes, like, my whole thing, because I was going to have to bemoan the fact that my only bowl game was to freaking the Las Vegas Bowl against Utah, which was terrible. Me and my cousin drove down, never been to a bowl game before, and we ended up leaving at halftime because it was 7-35. My car died on the way home. I mean, it was lousy. It was so miserable. But no, my favorite bowl game would be the Poinsettia Bowl versus Wyoming. Me and Jake drove down. We met up with our buddy in California and went to Six Flags.
For the record, I just want to point out, I only went because, you know, my mom's parents and, you know, that side of the family, they're all Cougar fans. And so my grandpa invited me to go with him.
He had free tickets, free drive.
Yeah, it was a free ticket. Yeah, free tickets. He would drive me down to the game. And Jason offered, you know, said, hey, if I buy a ticket, can I tag along? And I was like, please.
So it ended up being, that was like actually legitimately, that was like one of my favorite trips. It was tons of fun. We spent the whole day at Six Flags. We were all like deathly ill by the end because we were just so motion sick. But it was a super fun game. Josh Allen was the quarterback of Wyoming. It was his last game as a college football player. You know, he had all these NFL draft, you know, prospects and all this stuff.
I mean, ended up going on to be Josh Allen.
I got student tickets for like $10. In an NFL stadium. It was super rainy, and I was on row one at like the 10-yard line of an NFL stadium for this bowl game on the BYU sideline, and the Wyoming fans were super rude to us, like even Jake, who had no BYU shirt, nothing, and they were just like shouldering us and like trying to start fights and all this stuff. They were super trashy, and it was just fun. It was a fun game.
Yeah.
I
knew you'd been to more than one bowl game. When you said that, I can't believe I forgot that.
But yeah. So Kainakua, the Wyoming was driving down the field trying to get a game-tying touchdown, and Kainakua in classic form with an interception that sealed the win for BYU and ended Josh Allen's college career with a loss to the Cougs. So
amazing. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
It was genuinely, it was a lot of fun. That was a great experience.
No, honestly, even as a Utah fan,
I can't even believe that I spaced that.
Even as a Utah fan, that was fun. In fact, I remember I was in a neutral green color, right? I was in a neutral sweatshirt. I was talking to this woman who was sitting next to, you know, my grandpa, and they're all decked out in blue. So just by assumption, everyone assumes I'm a Cougar, you know, just without any money for swag or something. I don't know. But, you know, she and I get talking, and she says to me, and I'll never forget this, she's just like, yeah, I can't wait till next season till we can finally beat those classless Utes. and she starts going on, and I talk, I mean, like a 2-3 minute spiel about how little she thinks how little she thinks of any Utah fans. And I just let her, and I was like, you know, I hate to break this to you, but you're talking to a Utah fan right now. And her face, I mean, just, you know, just jaw on the bench, you know? She could not believe it.
And she, like, scooted away, didn't she? They, like, moved or something.
No, she scooted away and didn't want to talk to me the rest of the evening. I just had to throw that out there. No shade. Not all
all Ute fans are flipping me off the whole way down to that Vegas Bowl. Not all BYU fans are telling you you're classless and scooting away.
No, it's true.
Encounter the worst of the worst at bowl games, apparently.
No, it's true. It's very true. I do just want to. I have a breaking news update that I want to share.
This is live, ladies and gentlemen. First time ever.
Recording this at you know just past 10, and I'm seeing this on Twitter, and my phone's buzzing. Hunter Clegg has committed to Utah. So, 4-star prospect, flipped from Stanford. I expect Walker Lyons and Snowden Smith to be next.
It's good. That's just a reflection. I mean, this is live reaction, bro. This is awesome.
Yeah,
it couples perfectly with what I just was ranting about, that this defensive staff has been terrible in every single aspect. They have recruited super lazily, super poorly. They've had this attitude that we are not going to recruit to number of stars, that we're only going to recruit measurables, and we know what we're doing, and this arrogant, stupid attitude, and it has cost us some of the best defensive talent that the state has seen in decades. I'm talking decades.
True.
The Fano brothers, Walker Lyons, Hunter Clegg, Smith Snowden. These are guys that should be legacy BYU guys. That should be, like, even more so than Britton Covey or the defensive line guy, Anai. Like, Bradley Anai.
Yeah, Bradley Anai.
These are way more BYU legacy guys should have been.
I mean, they're from Utah.
And they're going to play for the Utes. It is the biggest indictment you could possibly give for BYU recruiting, specifically the defensive coaches that have allowed this mindset of players will come to us, we don't really need to recruit high-star players, and it has cost us an incredible season this year and is going to cost us for a couple of years until Jay Hill gets his guys in. And this is live reaction from me because seriously, it pisses me off. It infuriates me how poorly our defensive staff has executed everything. I mean, seriously, every single aspect of the game.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Rant over.
And it's all good. I threw that on you, and it was, you know, it was news. That's good news for my team, bad news for your team. So, you know, it's only fair you got to have the bull.
But see, I mean, seriously, congrats. That's such a huge. It's a huge pickup. And if you guys, you know, like is expected, if you get Lyons, if you get Smith Snowden, like Utah's defense is gonna be nuts.
Oh no, it's already nuts. Yeah. Although Lyons is tight end, so he's offense. But everyone else, I got it.
Dude, I'm pissed, dude. I'm so mad at freaking those guys. Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry. Like, I really am.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Like, and it comes back to a lot of my concern with the way that Kalani's tenure at BYU has gone. Like, when he was getting the job, like, when they announced that, and I was listening to, like, Hans and Scotty, I think it broke when they were on or something, that was, like, the one thing that everybody said, that Kalani, like, if he did one thing at BYU, he would recruit the heck out of people. That he would blow BYU fans away with his recruiting. We've averaged like 20 recruiting ranking spots lower than we ever did with Bronco Mendenhall. 20 spots, 20 rankings lower.
Which is really weird because, like, Kalani was not, he was not a bad recruiter for Utah. I don't know what's going on there.
I wonder if that just is, like, the Ed Lamb and Tuiaki, like, the, you know, Hadley, like, if it's just their recruiting mindset of, like, not going after stars that has held that back. But I just don't...
I mean, it could be. From what I've heard, man, it's been for really the most part... From what I've heard, for the most part, when it comes to, like, head coaches and whatnot, it's typically not their job to make first contact. It's not their job. You're seeking out. They're the closer. You know, they're the, you know, hey, I hear you're committing tomorrow. Why don't I stop by your house and meet your family for a second time and remind you how much you like me.
Yeah. And so, you know, that may be it, right? Look at the difference too, between like the defense, like BYU's defense under Kalani versus BYU's offense, like the number of guys that they've put into the NFL, like either active rosters or practice squad, like, cause you even have some wide receivers and tight ends that are practice squad guys from BYU on rosters, you know?
Yeah.
So like, maybe that might be it, dude. It just really may be that Kalani's recruiting has not lived up to par because of who guys are targeting, but it's been
miserable. Hey, so why don't we move on to talking about the bowl games? You know, this is the bowl game show, so why don't we talk about our bowl games?
Yeah,
you want to start?
Yeah, so BYU SMU in the New Mexico Bowl.
this is a matchup with a lot of history, isn't it? Because as a Utah fan, I didn't know that.
So this is a historical opponent for BYU. BYU and SMU, you know, the two real religious universities, had some battles in the 80s, and it was a lot of fun before SMU's football program got killed for however many years that was. But SMU was so good back then, like one of the best in college football. And so the classic BYU fans will know, older Utah fans may, but the Miracle Bowl, it's called the Holiday Bowl, against SMU, Jim McMahon, BYU was down. It was one of the largest comebacks ever in college football history, but BYU came all the way back, and then it was a last-second Hail Mary from, like, the 50-yard line from Jim McMahon to win the Holiday Bowl. And that's, like, a top-three BYU play in BYU history. A lot of fun. So there's some fun history with SMU. But, like you throw in, it's the New Mexico Bowl. It's pretty, like... I think it's better than Birmingham by a bit, you know, at least more BYU fans can get to this one, but You're
yeah, it, at the very least, it's on, you know, the western half of the country.
Yep. And it did get bumped to a favorable time slot. The 5 o'clock time slot's great for a bowl game. But you're looking at, you know, a BYU defense that's really struggled. SMU has a ton of firepower. And going through some change, you know, so maybe we'll see some more fire, some better scheme, technique, whatever you want to call it, you know, with Jay Hill being involved. But you've got Jaren Hall unlikely to play. That's not been, like Kalani can say that he's going to play all that, like they can say that all they want, but I would be shocked if Jaren plays. Cade Finnegan, who's now your backup quarterback because you have
Conover's gone to ASU
in the transfer portal and committed to ASU, so he will not be playing in the bowl game. So Cade Finnegan had a foot injury in the like right before the Boise game, and so he's kind of been working his way back from that. Was in a boot for a while. So it'll be interesting to see if he plays or the dude that's been running like the scout team, if he's the one that gets the call, you know. So that's a complete question mark. I have no idea how BYU's quarterback play is going to be.
Yeah.
And that's been the one, you know, the one area that you've been really able to rely on is your offense through the whole season. It's like, well, our defense is going to give up, you know, 40 points, but at least our offense can, we know our offense can put that up. So against a high powered SMU team with that also has no defense, I have no idea what's going to happen, you know, but you know, you've got portal guys out, you know, players that are entering the portal, a decent amount of injuries on both sides. It's gonna be interesting, you know. I hope that the guys take it seriously. I hope they show up and want to play, you know, and play well. But like I don't have a lot more to say on it. My last little tidbit is BYU played in the New Mexico Bowl to end its Mountain West Conference affiliation, the last year of Mountain West, you know, the year before independence. So our last year there. Yeah. We play in the New Mexico Bowl, and now for our final year of independence, we play and close that out in the New Mexico Bowl. And look,
apparently, you guys just decide to play SMU whenever you guys are going through a transition.
So yeah, it is what it is, and like just looking forward, you know, looking ahead to Big 12, like, and we saw today. Actually, today's a day of breaking news. Today, Cincinnati and UCF unveiled their fields, getting an updated section.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. So, hey, that's super awesome.
Exciting. And
has BYU?
They won't, because like
honed in on that.
It's a artificial field, right, versus BYU's natural turf. So they spray
right.
the grass.
You guys have grass.
So
That's right.
Unfortunately, we will not get to see that until opening
game.
Forgot LaVell
Edwards had
at less.
Wow, I you guys had grass. Yeah.
So that's the bowl game for BYU.
Okay. Well, Utah is going to what's possibly my favorite bowl game, and mostly because it's this bowl game, and that would be the Rose Bowl. You smell that? It smells like roses in here. But anyway, so, and I'm feeling pretty good about this bowl game, if I'm being honest, Jason. Mostly because we're not playing Ohio State, which is great. Shout out once again to the Buckeyes. They are one of the nicest fan bases I've ever come across. You know,
because they seem real arrogant. The whole Ohio State, like. I hate that so much.
Exactly.
I hate it so much.
No, I do
I will
too.
Never cheer for them in a single game, except for maybe if it's in Alabama versus Alabama. But even then, I will really not enjoy watching that game and don't have a lot of interest.
Hey,
in
one
it.
Thing I will say is, you know, I typically root against blue blood schools, but I will say, Ohio State, their fan base has really earned my respect. They're nice. The past 11, 12 months, you know, past year or so, since having to deal with them, you know, for the first time, and, you know, then us are, you know, kind of them depending on us to get them into the playoffs this year. Honestly, nothing but positive things. Like, yeah, there's a couple jerks on Twitter, but I mean, for the most part, fantastic fan base. But I'd rather not face them again. You know, not in the Rose Bowl once more. We are facing instead Penn State, which is really cool because we have never in our entire history played Penn State in a football game. So I wanted to point that out because, you know, you're playing a very historical opponent. We're playing an opponent we've never played before. Yeah, exactly. So very kind of opposites there. And, you know, very happy to be in this particular Rose Bowl because, at least for the very foreseeable future, it is the last non-playoff-related Rose Bowl, possibly forever.
Yep, with the expanded.
Because next year, yeah, exactly. Next year, obviously, it's the last normal year, but the Rose Bowl's in the rotation for semifinals. And then it's going to be part of the expanded playoffs going forward. So last, you know, traditional Rose Bowl, I guess you could say, with, you know, Pac-12 and Big Ten being the competitors. So it's really fun. So it's Utah's second ever Rose Bowl, obviously going back to back in appearances. This is Penn State's only fifth Rose Bowl, which really surprised me, actually. So unlike Ohio State last year, because they were not happy to be in the Rose Bowl, they were pretty angry that they weren't, and disappointed that they weren't in the playoffs. And so you had a lot of sit-outs. You had a lot of, you know, players just opting for the NFL early. Instead, team didn't travel particularly well. I mean, not poorly, I would say, but not particularly well.
Well, and I mean, they asked out this year. They said if we don't make the playoffs, we don't want to play in the Rose Bowl. Like, that's crazy to me. Crazy.
Yeah. No. Exactly. It's insane. You know, for a variety of reasons. But anyways, Penn State is not going to be that way, right? So they're 10-2 on the regular season, right?
When it was announced that it was Penn State, I did a double take. I had to go back and look at their schedule. They had a sneaky good year with their only losses coming to Ohio State and Michigan, who are both in the playoffs.
Exactly.
So a sneaky matchup. Like, I had no idea that Penn State had that good of a season.
Exactly. And I think that's because they didn't have any top 25 wins, either when they occurred or I don't know about when they occurred, but at least, you know, ending the season, they don't have any top 25 wins. Their only top 25 opponents were Michigan and Ohio State, both of which were losses. But I mean, regardless of what league you're playing in, 10 wins is hard to get to unless you're a good football team. And so, you know, they're excited to be in the Rose Bowl. You know, they kind of like how Utah kind of had to have a couple things go their way in order to get to the championship game. Penn State had to have a couple things go their way in order to get to the Rose Bowl. And so they're going to be motivated. Their fans, you know, it's been I think it was 2016 was the last time Penn State was in the Rose Bowl. So their fans, I expect to travel. I expect the players to be motivated. Like I said, I doubt many players from either team will opt out. I know Penn State's star corner has already opted out. But aside from that, it looks like everyone who can play will play, at least for right now. It's going to be a tough matchup, you know, but it's going to be very winnable, I think. You know, I think
it's for sure one of the better bowl games of the season. Like,
I completely agree.
Good matchup.
Yeah, so Penn State has a really good defense, very specifically in the secondary. So that's going to be, you know, so Cam Rising is going to have a very good night, and same with his receivers. You know, but we're going to have a pretty good night, and then the other strength for them is they have a very prolific run game. They have two running backs that have over 800 yards in the season. One of them has over 900 in the season. So they're a very prolific running offense, and which they remind me quite a bit, actually, of Oregon State. You know, both of those traits of their team ring very similar to Oregon State. And Utah handle a team like that very well. And so I do think their quarterback's better than Oregon State's, mostly because they've had a backup all year. So that will definitely be playing a factor. But I think Utah's it's gonna be a tough matchup. It's not going to be an easy win for the Utes, but I think we'll get it done. And on that note, why don't we go into our bowl game predictions, right? So because the Utes, the Cougars, and also the Utah State Aggies all managed to get bowl eligible, we'll be predicting them in their games. And then we'll just kind of shout out a couple matchups that we really like that are not, you know, in-state, right? So for Utah and Penn State, because I was just talking about them, I think it's going to be low scoring for the first half. I think, you know, it's going to take Utah a little bit of time to get going, you know, or as Utah fans like to bemoan the slow start. But I think Penn State's going to struggle with us for a while. In the second half, it's the game on both sides of the ball is going to kind of break open a little bit. But ultimately, I think the Utes are going to win by, I want to say, you know, 7 to 10 points. So I'm just going to go in the middle kind of with 8. I'm going to say 35 to 27 Utes. BYU, I'll admit my assumption is that, you know, Jaren and all your best offensive players are playing. Whether that's true or not, I think your Cougars are going to be motivated to win this game. You know, just after the season you had and the expectations, and then the adjusted expectations and the hopes and the striving to get bowl eligible, I think you guys are going to be very motivated, especially against a historical opponent. I say you win by 10, so I'm going to say 31-21. And then Utah State, they're facing off Memphis in the First Responders Bowl. And Memphis is not very good this year. They've had a couple of good seasons recently, but they are also a 6-6 Utah State. However, what little I've seen of Memphis, I think they're better than the Aggies by just a little bit. So I'm going to say Utah State loses by 4. I'm going to say 24-20. Not a high scoring game, but the Aggies are going to make it close. It's not going to be a walk. You know, they're not going to get walked over. But I still think, unfortunately, you're going to lose. The best bowl matchups outside of, out of those, I really like the Clemson-Tennessee in the Orange Bowl, or the very Orange Bowl. Yep, the very Orange Bowl.
Somebody was trying to get them to go color, first color, orange versus orange.
I completely agree. Heck, I completely agree.
It would be so hard to watch, dude.
Well, no, look, here's how you do it. You have Tennessee with the white helmets with the T, obviously, and then orange down from the head. And then Clemson does jersey pants orange, but then the purple helmets.
They don't have purple helmets. They've got orange helmets only, and then purple jersey tops and
Well, pants. They need to get some purple helmets for the very Orange Bowl, because then it would be really fun.
Well, it will still be very orange, because Clemson's going orange, yeah. White orange is what I heard. So it'll be very orange.
Very orange. Very orange. But anyways, I think that's going to be a great game. Even without Hooker, who I believe is sitting out in the game.
He's injured.
I think the...
Out for the season. Oh, is he? Yeah, they lost him a couple weeks ago. South Carolina.
I'll be honest. I have not been following Tennessee since their loss to Georgia. So
he got hurt.
But yeah, even without Hooker, I think it's going to be a fun game, a fun matchup. Then I think one of the next really fun matchups is actually Washington versus Texas in the Alamo Bowl. I think that is a very underrated bowl game. You got Texas, who, you know, is who's back, so, you know, quote unquote, you know, in the Alamo Bowl. But I think Washington's a better team than Texas.
I think they'll be Texas. This is very much a Washington was that close to getting to, you know, to the Rose Bowl as well.
No, very true. But the thing I think that's going to give them some trouble is that the Alamo Bowl is basically a home game for Texas. And the Pac-12 notoriously does not win the Alamo Bowl. You know, and we have a very poor history as a conference of not winning the Alamo Bowl. One, it's far away from all our, you know, from every
Two,
team in the conference.
Big 12 is better than the Pac-12, so.
That's not true. usually what happens is the conference runner-ups, the one who loses the championship, goes to the Alamo Bowl. And so that team's disappointed. You know, all the expectations you had are not there. You were either hoping for the Rose Bowl or the CFP, and then you get stuck in the Alamo Bowl, right? And so
you just set me up too good, dude. You can't give me that kind of setup.
It's fine.
It'll be fine. When you come to the Big 12, we'll be even better. It'll be great.
Yeah, we'll see. But anyways, and then the next matchup I really like is two teams Utah's played before, and that's Oregon State versus Florida in the Las Vegas Bowl. I think this is an underrated matchup. I think this is an underrated bowl game, and I am going to be watching it. I think I am cheering for the Beavers once again.
Go Beavs.
Yep. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if the woodchucks were actually beavers?
I've never heard that. Did you come up with that on the spot?
Yes, I did.
That was beautiful. I was like, where is he going with this? Oh, man. Well, to jump to my my bowl prediction, so BYU-SMU, like, I think it's going to be more high scoring just because of how bad both defenses are. Yeah. I've got a win for BYU 35-32, but it really is going to depend on what offensive players are available and that kind of stuff.
Is Nakua going to play?
Yeah, he'll be playing for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
And then probably is off to the NFL, but we'll see with Jaron. No idea what's going to happen there. And then Utah versus Penn State.
Hey, it looks like you have a very similar score as me.
31-27. I do think it's close, but I think Utah's will to win, pure will to win, won that championship game versus probably a more talented USC team. Like if we're just looking at individual players, like.
Yeah, no, you know, for sure. I'll agree to that.
It's USC.
It was a will-to-win differential.
Will-to-win. So I think Utah wants that really badly. They want that Rose Bowl win. So I've got them winning that matchup. And then Utah State versus Memphis. 35-14 loss for Utah State. But I'm going to be honest.
If you guys can't tell here on our podcast, listeners, we don't think very much of the Aggies.
No.
Either their fans or their team.
Move along, little brother.
Move along. Anyways. Anyway, what matchups are you looking forward to?
So, top three outside bowl matchups. So, I really liked your picks as well. Those were actually all three of those I was, like, looking at adding to my list, especially the Orange matchup. But I have, number one, I think the best game. Like, it's going to be close with Utah and Penn State, but I really like the TCU-Michigan game. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm glad that we're going to get one of those teams in the championship game, you know, instead of ending up with, like, an Ohio State.
Two Georgia, SEC teams.
You know, matchup or something like that.
Two SEC teams, like, last year.
Like, it will make it way more interesting for me if TCU is in the national championship game and wins it, which... they're going to do, right? So, no, I, well, yeah, well, well, yeah, George is tough.
We'll see.
George is tough.
Like, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I like TCU. It's been a fun season for them. I thought they got hosed in the Big 12 championship game with some spotting. Like, seriously.
Oh, for sure.
In the modern day and age of 2022, how are we still eye spotting and using a chain to spot footballs? It makes no sense to me. None.
Nope. No sense at all.
Anyway, so that one's going to be, that one's such a good matchup. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And then I have Kansas State Bama. There's a very Big 12 theme, I guess, to my my.
Well,
my,
I mean, hey, two of mine were Pac-12. So no shame.
I'm getting the hang of this thing. I'm realizing, you know, the glory of
a conference affiliation.
So I like the Kansas State Bama matchup because there were a ton of people that were talking like really down on Kansas State and like TCU and how, you know, Nick Saban saying that Bama deserves to be in and all this stuff. I hope so badly that Kansas State goes in and beats Alabama because it would shut up a lot of
even the I am going to be rooting for beat writers. Kansas State. I hate, you know, no love for, yeah, Alabama. None. So all for Kansas State, especially because, you know, they're not a team you see having up year every year. So I'm all for it.
Yep. 100%. So that'll be, I think that's going to be a fun matchup too. And then this one is so wild story. So it's Louisville versus Cincinnati. So this is the chain of events that have gone on so far. So Cincinnati lost their head coach Fickell to Wisconsin, right?
Okay.
Moves on to the Big Ten. Whatever, right?
Okay.
Cincinnati then hires Louisville's head coach to come in and be their head coach. Super controversial amongst Cincinnati fans. He was not very good at Louisville. Like, he really was not great at Louisville. And in fact, I saw an article today from Cincinnati, or from Louisville, saying Louisville fans are mad that their coach quit to leave to Cincinnati, so because that means they can't fire him. So, really interesting move, right? So the former head coach of Louisville goes to Cincinnati like 2 weeks before they're about to face each other in the bowl game. So I think that is like the recipe for an awesome, awesome matchup for a bowl game. And then Louisville went and hired Purdue's head football coach, who just texted his players and the coaches and said, "Hey, I've taken the job at Louisville. I'll text you in like the next 48 hours. We'll talk." And he just peaced. And that was it. No meeting, no call, a text to everybody saying, "I'm out." So I think that's, dang. I think, like, when you that's look dog at move. When you look at like a bowl game, what makes some intrigue, has some intrigue, you know, to a bowl game, that is great. And it's the Fenway Bowl, which means they're playing on a baseball diamond, and so the benches are going to be on the same, like, there's not going to be an opposing sideline. They're going to be on the same sideline, split in the middle. Both teams will be on the same sideline after one team just stole the other. Like, this feels like a brawl. Like, I mean, it feels like a lot of fun in the making. So we shall see. But that's my kind of top three bowl game picks. So
honestly, this bowl season, I think, is one of the best we've had. Like, at least as far as like matchups go, of like team versus team, this is some of the best we've had in a long time. You know, you got TCU, a team that, you know, first appearance in the CFP, you know, that's fantastic.
Heisman candidate.
You got a bunch. Yeah, Heisman candidates abound. You know, and then just, you know, the New Year's Six obviously features Utah, which is fantastic. You know, it's some historical matchups, some new matchups, some bitter matchups. some like some kind of eyebrow raising matchups that you just instinctively know are going to be great. So I'm really looking forward to this bowl season, and we're going to have a lot of fun watching it, I think. So thank you all for listening. That's the end of our show. We've had a lot of rants. We've had a lot of we've gone on a bunch of different topics, but hey, it wouldn't be the State of Sports Utah podcast if we stayed on topic.
Right, and we've got a whole off season we have to look forward to. You guys don't get to hear from us for like another months and months, so
yeah,
we had to fill it in.
Speaking of which, we are going to be doing a couple shows in the off season. The next show is going to be just kind of a postseason recap, right? We're going to just look at the season as a whole. We're going to look at what we're looking forward to in the following season, and then sometime, in the middle of the off season, we're going to do a farewell to independence for BYU, and we're going to kind of just compare and see how BYU and Utah have done since leaving the Mountain West, right? We're going to have a lot of fun with that. If any conference realignment comes up, we might do a quick show about that. Lots to look forward to, but this has been a great season, Jason. I've had a lot of fun with this. I don't know about you.
It's been a blast to sit down and to like talk college football. It's just fun. It's like we are fans. And that's the show, you know. That's all it is. It's two guys that love football and have, you know, egged each other on as opposing rival schools for 20 years. So it's been a lot of fun. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. And what's really great is this season we have our first consistent set of listener participation. You know.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much for participating this season. Please continue to do so, and we'll make sure to feature your questions on our show. Feel free to ask us any questions regarding the outcomes of the bowl games or just the outcome of the season, since that's going to be our next show. Best question will get a reaction and featured in the next show. So thank you, everybody. Make sure to subscribe and like and follow on everything, and this is Jake and Jason signing out from State of Sports, Utah.
Go Cougs.
Go Utes.
Thank you for listening to this State of Sports, Utah production. SFX technical support provided by Samantha Knight.